Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through complete connection to yourself, to others, to the world, to life, to love, the divine, to everything, absolutely everything. So we spent a huge number of podcast episodes going through all the different stages, how to move from one stage to the next. If you haven't heard those, go back and binge on that and enjoy. Get the book, or you can read up at the website, or you can go to lastingpeace.org and read the roadmap. It's all the same. But go and work your way through these stages. And now we're in a phase of the podcast where we're getting in fantastic audience questions and additional thoughts. And I'm just loving it. So quick shout out today before we get started with today's audience questions. A little shout out to new listeners in Greenbelt, Maryland, another close nearby city to where I happen to be right now. Thank you for this connection. Thanks for joining in. I'm so excited to have you here. So today we're going to be talking about whether or not we are what we do for work, or are we just what we spend the most time on? So the question was, aren't we just what we do for work? Because it's what we spend the most time on. So isn't that really the measure of who we are? This is actually a great question. You might think it's simplistic, but it's really not. As usual, there's the question, and then there's what's hiding behind the question. And this question is a lot more revealing than it may seem at first. So let's take it piece by piece. So first, is our work the ultimate measure of who we are? God, I hope not. I really hope not, because some of us are in professions that we're not proud of, and some of us are in professions we just don't like, or we used to like, but we don't like it anymore. Some of us are retired and we're not in any profession at all. What you do for money is what you do for money. And then when you choose to no longer do for money, but to let your money do for you, what are you then? If you're only engineer or teacher or janitor, then there's nothing unique about you. Do you know how many people do the exact same job that you do? If that's all you are, then you are in no way special. You're just a cog in the machine and easily replaced. Maybe that's true, but it kind of sucks. I think that's kind of a really bad way to define who you are. So let's widen it. Because jobs change. You change jobs over the course of your life. You do different things. The work you did as a teenager is not the same as the work you were doing in your 30s or 40s. It's not the same as what you're spending your time on in your later years. So I don't think that really defines who you are. So let's widen this definition. Maybe it's not what you do for money, but maybe it's how you spend the majority of your time. So if you're spending the large majority of your day on your job, or if you're retired and you're spending the large majority of your day on some kind of project, is that it? Are you what you spend the most time on? Again, I really hope not. Let me tell you why. So some of us spend the large majority of time on things that we would rather not be doing. Some of us are spending large amounts of time on, it could be just a job you don't like, but it could be recovering from injury or recovering from illness. And if all we see is your cancer recovery, then we're missing so much more of your full reality. Even if you spend the larger portion of your time saving the children or making major contributions to your community, aren't we only getting part of the story here? Who are you in those other hours? aren't you husband, wife, lover, son, daughter, friend? Aren't you dreams and disappointment? Aren't you triumph and tragedy? Aren't you personal and professional? Now, who are you in those quiet hours alone with your thoughts, if you allow yourself to be? Who are you, this human being, in this moment? And there's another underlying issue here. Yes, there are times in our life when work does, in fact, take up the majority of our day. But if work is taking up more than 12 hours of every day of your life, long term into your golden years, that is a conscious choice. You are voiding yourself. You are hiding from the questions that infiltrate your mind in the quiet hours. You are refusing to face your own reality, the reality of your humanity. You're refusing to connect with yourself, with others, and with life itself. Even if your work makes a world of difference to someone else, you are missing out on this life, your current existence. You're missing out on you and on the depth and richness and the peace and the joy of a real connection that starts with real connection to yourself. And I get it. I get it. You hide in your work because these questions and that kind of connection are hard and scary, and you'll have to face the mistakes that you've made, and you'll have to face the ugly things that you've done. How did I know that? Because we've all made mistakes and we've all done ugly things, and we have to face them. And you haven't faced yours yet. You don't think you can face that. Maybe it will hurt. Oh, it probably will. But wouldn't it be worth it to settle these issues in this life before it's over? Or are you going to hide in your work for the rest of your life? You can. Oh, I've seen it done. I see it done all the time. Put on the blinders and hide in your work and stick your fingers in your ear and go la 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 and ignore the stuff that infiltrates your mind in those quiet hours in the middle of the night when you happen to pop awake. All that stuff you've been avoiding addressing is why you want to define yourself by your work. Because you're afraid to face yourself. And I get it, because it's going to be hard, and it's going to be emotionally hard. Not physically hard. It's going to be emotionally hard to face yourself. It's going to be mentally hard to face yourself. But then it's going to be a joyous epiphany to face yourself. But you're going to have to walk through the dark to get there. When we're in a place where we're focusing on work, it's usually because we're avoiding what else, the other stuff that's going on in our lives. And this is kind of a stage six place to be. Hey, live and let live. Everything's cool, right? Right? Well. But there is this nagging feeling that there's something else. And you're going to have to walk through stage seven to get there. You're going to have to face yourself. You're going to have to ask the questions. You're going to have to question everything. You're going to have to go through the dark night of the soul to get to the light. But once you do, it is so beautiful on the other side to see yourself in your full divine reality, to see others in their humanity, to see your own humanity and just forgive it if you do nothing else. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to look up stage seven. You can look up stage seven in the book, Purna Asati, and get the full book because you're going to need all the exercises. You can get the print book. You can get it on Kindle. You can get it on iBooks. You can get it at lastingpeace.org. Go to the roadmap and scroll down to stage seven. And this is what you need to work through. And if you work through it according to the instructions in stage seven, you'll get through it fast. Typically, stage seven can look a lot like, it can be years. I've seen it be 1 year. I've seen it be 2 years. I've seen it be 3 years. I've seen it be a decade of self-destruction. It's a little bit of a dangerous phase, and that's why you're avoiding it. But if you follow the instructions, the Purna Asati instructions for stage seven, you can get through this in a matter of a few weeks, maybe a month. Find a mentor who's been through the dark night of the soul and let them help you get through it faster. Get through it quickly. Get to the good stuff. And while you're at it, do stage six as well. Do six because there's some pieces there that you still need to pick up about forgiving yourself. And then do stage seven and work your way forward. And if you want to land in stage eight and stop, that's cool. You'll be in a much happier place and you'll understand the fullness of who you really are. Ooh, that's some heavy stuff. I can be a little bit blunt. I do not apologize for that. I do it out of love. A real love, because I see your humanity. I'll be happy to walk with you on this journey. So that's some heavy stuff for everybody else out there. What is it that you are busying yourself with? And what is it you're avoiding? Sometimes this is entirely legitimate. There are times in your life when you're going through maybe a grief stage where it's a really good idea to be busy. Just be busy. If you're going through a divorce, through legal battles, through major loss, sometimes it's good to be busy for a little while until your grief subsides to a place where you can actually kind of work through it all and process it all. But I just want you to do it cognizantly. I want you to be aware of what you're avoiding and the mechanism you're using to avoid it. Sometimes it can be simple. You know, as I'm recording this, I'm selling my house. It's kind of a stressful thing to do. So I choose, instead of, I don't want to be obsessing my thoughts over the sale of a house. That doesn't do me any good. So I choose instead to try to focus more on creating, writing, and music and art, because this gives me joy. So am I avoiding some aspect of myself there? Maybe. I've had to address, you know, letting go. And get to a place where all I'm kind of avoiding is the impatience of waiting for a buyer. But I want you to do it knowingly. If you're avoiding something, I want you to recognize that you're avoiding it. If you're keeping yourself busy to get through a stressful time, I just want you to recognize that that's what you're doing, and do it with intention. Do it with full cognizance. And let me know. Let me know how it's going. Use the link in the show notes. Send in your thoughts, ideas, questions. Let me know how it's going for you. Let me know how I can help. That's enough for this time. Check in where you are on the stages and where you want to be, and do the work to get there. As always, I'm wishing you, Purna Asati, complete connection.